Please and turn to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. If you're using one of the Pew Bibles, it would be page 879. Page 879. It's John chapter 16. We're going to begin reading with verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 22. Page 879. John chapter 16, verse 16. And you know, if you're a guest today, we read out loud. And we read with the outside voices. We read with exuberance and with passion and with love and with joy and with volume. We want all the people who are watching on Facebook Live to hear us reading God's Word together as they're joining with us as well. So let's read God's Word together. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying to us, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me,' and again, 'A little while, and you will see me,' and 'because I am going to the Father'?" They said, "What does he mean by this, 'a little while'? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me,' and again, 'A little while, and you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Thank you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, some of you who are here today for our 11 o'clock service were also here for the sunrise service. So I've had to come up with a couple of different illustrations. I told the group this morning that the church we grew up in, they had no sunrise service. We were woke up every Sunday morning by hearing the gospel singing Jubilee on four different televisions. But I can remember one Easter, my dad was out of town. She wanted to go to a sunrise service. So we went out to Roselawn Cemetery, where Temple Baptist had their sunrise service. And we went to the sunrise service. We went home, we got ready, then we went to church. And at the end of the church service, the pastor is closing the service. He said, "Everybody, bow your head and close your eyes," because he's giving the altar call. And our pews weren't quite this deep, and so I bowed my head and closed my eyes, and I put my head down on the pew in front of me. And the next thing I remember is my mother hitting me on the shoulder saying, "Wake up, church is over." So I'm going to do my best, if you were at the sunrise service, to keep you fully awake. I know I've told all of you before about how the difficulty that I have going to Costco to buy gas. I always get behind the person that just hits that thing in me of impatience. And just a few weeks ago, I was behind a guy in a truck at Costco, and I let the window down, and he's pumping gas. And you know that sound it makes when it's full, that click? I heard it click, and I'm thinking, well, he's going to move. Well, he started click, 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 click. And while he's click, click, clicking, he is pushing on the cab of his truck. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought they mixed it all up at the refinery. But apparently, if you're driving a truck, you need to mix the new gas with the old gas whenever you're filling up. It just reminded me of either my lack of patience or the inability of people to go at the pace and do what I want them to do. You know, Jesus is walking with his disciples toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's like a football coach at the two-minute warning. He's attempting to give them his last instructions. He's trying to download into them as much information as he can because he knows what is awaiting him in the garden. He knows that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be taken before the Jewish council and then before Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pilate. He knows all of that is happening, and he knows time is ticking away, that he only has a little while with them to just sort of give them that last little pep talk they need before he goes to the cross. So he says to them, as we read, a little while and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And as we read in our text this morning, they didn't understand. In fact, they said to one another, what does he mean by this a little while? Have you ever been told in a little while? I can remember when I was a boy, we always went to the fair on Friday night. And I'm at home, and we're waiting on Dad to get home. And I've asked my mom, you know, how long before Dad gets here? Because I wanted to go to the fair. Now, going to the fair with my dad was this. You first went to one of those big booths they had where they were frying mullet. So you had to eat a mullet dinner. Then you had to walk through all those exhibits of cows and pigs and goats and jelly and things people had knit together. And then you had about 15 minutes to go ride. And so I say to Mom, you know, when is Dad going to get home? And this is what she said, in a little while. I told the group this morning, I said, now during this sermon, if the person sitting next to you turns to you and says, when's he going to finish? Just say, in a little while. You know, we're very conscious about time management. And I looked up the definition of the phrase time management, and this is what I found. This is how it's defined. Time management is the process of planning and exercising conscious control of time spent on specific activities, especially to increase effectiveness, efficiency, and production. You know, time management is a wonderful tool when it works. When all the planets and stars get aligned just right, time management is a great thing. But if you've tried using time management, you recognize that it really, it's a great phrase, but it doesn't work. I can, in the business world, when I worked with the bank, I remember, you know, I had a calendar with me, and here's my appointments for the day. And everything would be going well, and then there's always that one appointment that runs late, or they arrive late, and now you're trying to make up time. My favorite cousin, Jeff West, is here today. And Jeff's in construction business, and I can tell you, I would tell you that Jeff has probably told you there's been a lot of times in the middle of building a house that he had to wait on the plumber to show up or the electrician to show up, and he's got to reschedule everybody because one guy didn't make it. Time management. Maybe you're a grandmother here, and you have planned your day. You're going to sleep in. You're going to go get a pedicure. You're then going to eat lunch with your best friend. And about 9:30 that morning, your daughter calls and says, little Johnny is at school today throwing up. And I can't get off work. Can you go pick him up and take him home? Well, now, of course, your whole day is blown to pieces. And you're bringing a walking stomach virus into the house. Or maybe your life is all planned. You've worked hard all your life. You've saved. You've scrimped. You've done without because you had plans. Plans of where you were going to travel. You envisioned yourself sitting on the beach, or you saw yourself on a mountaintop looking down a waterfall. And every week or every month you set money aside because of the plans you had. And all those plans seem to be coming together. You had ample money for retirement and ample money for the golden years. And you find out that it only takes one visit to the doctor to throw off all those plans that you have for your life. The disciples have no idea what lies ahead for them. They paid very little attention to the conversation that Jesus had with Judas. They've not really listened to him when Jesus has told them the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and he's going to be crucified, but he's going to rise again on the third day. It just kind of all went over their heads. In just a little while, Judas is going to appear with the temple police to arrest Jesus. In just a little while, these disciples are going to run away and hide in fear. In just a little while, Jesus will stand before Pilate, beaten, humiliated, a crown of thorns rammed down into his head. And he will stand before Pilate and hear the crowd scream, "Crucify him, crucify him." In just a little while, Jesus will be nailed to a cross. In just a little while, he's going to die. In just a little while, they're going to take his cold, lifeless body down from that cross and place it in a borrowed tomb. And then in just a little while, they're going to roll a big stone in front of that tomb. And then Pilate is going to order a guard of soldiers to stand before that tomb to make sure nothing happens. All that is going to occur for these disciples and for Jesus, who is walking with them, heading toward the Garden of Gethsemane in just a little while. So what does Easter teach us about a little while? Well, the first thing it teaches us is this: God's measure of time differs from ours. God sees life through the lens of eternity. We see life through the lens of an hour, maybe a day, a weekend, a week. You know, I'm a stickler about being on time and starting things on time. And as you can tell, I had to have a little bit of surgery with the dermatologist. And Friday they were supposed to take the stitches out. And when they were sewing this up, the doctor told me, he said, "Now when you come on Friday, none of the doctors will be here. There'll be some nurses because every Friday we close at 12 o'clock. But you walk in at 8:30 and tell them you have an appointment and they'll get the stitches out." 8:15, I'm sitting in his office. And Jeff Snyder, please do not get upset at me when I talk about doctors. I'm sitting in the waiting room at 8:15. Nobody's in the waiting room. I'm the only one there. In fact, it is so informal that when I come in and sit down, the lady behind the desk who's taking people in yells out, "We've got a patient." And I sit. At 8:45, they come and take me back into the room, the examination room, and about 9 o'clock, a nurse comes in to take the stitches out. And she says, "Mr. West, you're our only patient today." And I'm like, "Well, where have y'all been?" You know, we recognize our watches are set on one time zone, and sometimes other people's watches are on a totally different time zone than ours. God's little while always differs from ours. The 90th Psalm, the 4th verse, the psalmist said this: "A thousand years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8: "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day." The second thing we learn about this little while is that sometimes a little while can seem like a long while. Can you recall some of the little whiles in your life? Like when you were 14 and you knew when you turned 15 you were going to get your learner's permit, and it seemed like the age of 15 would never arrive. And then when you turned 15 and you knew when you turned 16 you were going to have your driver's license and you could drive on your own, you would finally be free. And it seemed like every day it got further and further and further away. And maybe when you started high school in the 9th grade, graduation day seemed like that'll never get here. Or maybe if you're parents with children who are in college, you think, "I'll never get them out. And even when I get them out, I'll never be able to pay off the money." Isn't it amazing that when you're about 20 years old and people talk to you about aging, that you think age is 25? And then you get to be my age, 39, and you're looking back and you think, man, it's been just like that. It's really been a little while. I can remember Mom used to say, the older you get, the faster time flies. The third thing we learn about little whiles is this. Little whiles can bring great pain. Jesus said, we read it in John 16:20, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. For one person, a little while is nothing. If you're getting ready, for example, to start chemotherapy and radiation, and the doctor says, you know, it's going to be 6 months, you can say, well, I've got to do this for 6 months, and they can say, well, that's just a little while. But when you're in it, a little while can be a great while. And that is one of the things we have to understand, that little whiles can bring a great deal of pain. How's the disciples are going to respond? Jesus said, you're going to weep and lament. You're going to be sorrowful. And the truth is they were crushed. Their master, the one whom they had pinned all their hopes on, their beloved master, their teacher, the one whom they had correctly identified as the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel. In just a little while, he's going to be dead. And they will feel dead inside. And Jesus told them how others are going to respond. Others are going to respond rejoicing. You see, little whiles can be scary times when you don't know how long is this going to go on. When will this end? When will things get better? When will I improve? When will I get over this? Little whiles can seem like a long, long time filled with a great deal of pain. And Jesus said, you're going to weep and lament, but the world's going to rejoice. You think about it. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, his enemies are at the foot of that cross, and they're mocking him. They're laughing at him. They're saying to him, if you are the Son of God, then tell God to bring you down from the cross. Come down from the cross and prove to us that you truly are the Son of God. The soldiers ripped his clothes up. While at the foot of the cross, they're casting lots for his outer garment, his cloak. They're mocking him. They're laughing at him. All of this is going on. And the last thing that little whiles teaches is this. God is in control of the little whiles. Sometimes when we're in the little while, it seems like everything is just out of control. That we have no idea when this is going to end. How am I going to be when I get through this? What's life going to look like in 6 more months, in 3 more months, in 1 more year? But God is in control. Jesus said, you'll grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a baby is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away. The psalmist put it very succinctly when he said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Their sorrow is going to turn into joy. Matthew 28:8 says, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And then in John chapter 20, verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And John put it this way, he said, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The resurrection speaks to us that God's mission of rescue has been completed and has been successful. Sin is defeated and forgiven. Death is conquered. There is now new life, resurrection life that is given to us and received by us. Good Friday and Easter together go from death to life, from sorrow to joy, from a little while to a great deal of joy. Every one of us here today are in some season of a little while in our lives. We sit here today in the little while as we wait for Jesus' return. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51, Paul wrote this, Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. And then the saying that is written will be true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I think it is appropriate that as we gather here this morning, just a little ways over from us is the cemetery for this church. A lot of churches in the 1800s and even in the early 1900s, whenever they built the church, there was a cemetery nearby. It was a place where those who had been part of the church would find their place of rest and repose as they waited for the return of Christ. But that cemetery is more to us today than just a place in which we take those who once were part of us and we place them there. That cemetery says to us that we are all in the time frame called a little while. That life is short, but in a little while, Jesus will return. The trump of God is going to sound in a little while. Those graves will burst open in a little while. We will begin to rise in the earth, from the earth in a little while. And then we will be joined with Christ and be there forever and ever. John writes in Revelation 21:4, speaking of that day, he says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making all things new. Whether we realize it or not, whether we sense it or not, we are all living in a little while period. The third chapter of Ecclesiastes begins with these words, There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Life refuses to follow our time management plan. But this we know, even today, if today is a day of sorrow, grief, pain, a day of being filled with memories of what used to be reminded of this. Joy is coming in a little while. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are thankful that even in the midst of sorrow, pain, hurt, grief, questioning, not understanding your ways, not understanding events and circumstances that impact our lives, not understanding how easily our life plan becomes skewered. Yet, Lord, we recognize that this is just for a little while, that your plans will be fulfilled, and that one day, what we know as life on earth will be transitioned to eternal life with you. all in just a little while. I pray today, Father, that hope would rise within us, that trust and faith and confidence would arise within us, that as we go through this day and this week that lies ahead of us, we would be reminded that no matter what I'm going through, how dark it may seem, it's just for a little while, that there's another day coming. I ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Ron is coming to lead us in our closing hymn.
Let's turn together to page 302.